Hi, and welcome to another episode here at Supernatural Confessions Podcast, where it is a safe place for you to confess all your experiences, be it supernatural, myths, urban legends, superstitions, or even the unknowns. And as a team, we'll compile and feature your confessions on our platforms. You may reach out to us through our Facebook page or website. You just need to search supernaturalconfessions.com. And you are also invited to join us every Friday night on our Facebook Live, where Eugene, the founder of Supernatural Confessions, together with Sonia Kurana and I, host a weekly live show discussing all about the supernatural. And I'm Kim, your host for this podcast series. And now, let's get on to the confessions.
Is anyone here? What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
Today's episode, we're gonna start with Shalini's confession, whereby her confession's title is Dead Grandma's Visit. I'm pretty sure the title explains itself, what the whole confession is about.
After my grandma passed away, so this was somewhere around 2008, 2009, or 2010, amongst around that time. So basically, I grew up my whole life in Saudi Arabia, and we used to keep going to India every two months to go visit, stay with our grandparents, visit our relatives and everybody. So this was during that time. So my mom and I had gone for holidays to India, and we were staying at our grandparents' place. My grandmom had passed away just 8 months before that. And so my grandfather wasn't there, but it was only my mom and myself in the big house that we were staying. And it was just so random that, one night at 8 o'clock, my grandmom's sister, she herself at that time was 82 years old, and she rings the doorbell and she arrives at our house, and we are like, what is this? How are you here at 8:30 at night? At this age, this is your bedtime, right? And she comes over, she just sits in the living room, we offer her tea, and then she starts crying and she's like, I miss my sister so much. And her sister was 2 years younger to her, and she's like, so my grandmom was 80 when she passed away, and she just randomly says oh, I miss my sister so much. If she was here, she would have observed this, she would have seen this, she would have seen her grandkids grow up. And at that time, one of my uncles actually had a baby, so she was sad that she didn't have an opportunity to see her only son have their first child. So then she was just nonstop talking about my grandmom. And I remember sitting there on the sofa and I'm like, this is so random at 9 p.m. at night, when this woman's bedtime, she's talking about her sister who's already 80. It's not, and my grandma was really sick. It's not she just died overnight. She was actually really sick. And then for some reason, my mom looked at me and she was like, by the way, this auntie believes in black magic stuff, which has got to do with Hindu gods, right? Talking to the spirit world, talking to the gods. And she also has this thing where, I don't know how much you know about Indian mythology, but there are people who actually get gods in them. So one of the goddesses, Devi, they get the Devi inside them, during big festivals or during a particular time of the year, they get the Devi inside them. So my mom actually looks at me and she's like, by the way, this is that grandmom, so you should just be careful. And as my mom said that, within 5 minutes, the whole house, this never happens. We have a generator in the house. It never flickers. It starts flickering. The whole lights in the house start flickering. And I'm like, oh my God, this is happening. Something's happening right now. And then all of a sudden, the fuses go off. The lights are off. And again, they're back. And then this grandmom, the one who was crying in our house, doesn't stop. Normally, as a human reaction, if the lights are off, you would stop, right? And then you would be like, hey, let the lights come back and I'll like continue my story. But she goes on a rant and like she still keeps crying, and my mom is also freaking out, like, is she calling my grandmom to the house like right now, or what is happening? And then the lights start flickering, the lights switch off, the lights come on, and I'm like, this is so creepy. And then after a while she stops crying, and then she goes into the kitchen, and then it's like an Indian tradition, basically. We call it Nazar. So Nazar is like basically evil eye. So this is something even like normal moms who don't believe in like spiritual stuff, it's like a very Hindu tradition that to avoid evil eye, they take salt and chili, like dry chili, and they just like cook it in, like they put it in the gas and they put it in the oil and they burn it, so that the whole house actually has these, what do you say, like pungent, like I don't know, like smoke, which actually removes the evil off. And it is so random that after she cries, she just gets up, goes into the kitchen. We are like, what is happening? She randomly removes the dry chili, the oil, the salt, and she like tosses it into like this boiling hot pan of oil. The whole house had that burning smell where we were coughing. And then she just comes out and she's like, yeah, I know my sister was here. I knew she was here. That's why I came at a correct time to talk to her. And she goes and she leaves. Like, and the thing is that we are like, this is 8:30 at night. She does this for an hour. At 9:30, she's like, hey, I'm going by. And she gets a rickshaw and she goes home. And we're just like, what? You just ruined our night. Like, the whole night I couldn't sleep. And I was like this 12 or 13 year old kid, and I'm like shitting bricks. I'm like, okay, I'm dead. I'm so dead. Like, yeah. So this is, I think, like a very scary story that like that happened with my family, you can say.
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions. If you have your own confessions to share, reach out to us on our Facebook or website, Supernatural Confessions. Remember, you are not alone. So, what do you guys think? Is it Shalini's grandmother that came for a visit? Or is it something else? Next confession that I pick from our SC private group, It Must Be the Haunter, also related to somebody that has paused. So the next confession, it came from Kelvin Hugh. When I was around 13 or 14 years old, I used to stay in a single-story landed house which is facing a crossroad. People say it's not really a good feng shui. So what happened was not really about the house, but instead, what happened to my youngest brother, who was around 7 or 8 at the time. For about a certain part, for one whole year, he would always wake up crying and sleepwalking. Like every time he cried and sleepwalk, we couldn't wake him up. And sometimes it happened during odd hours, like around 2:45 or 3 or 3:30 in the morning. I remember this one time when it was very near to the Ghost Festival, or the 7th month in lunar calendar. I always remember this festival because it's close to my birthday. My brother woke up at 3, sleepwalking and crying, and he went to open our house front door, walk out to the porch and hold the metal gates outside and cry facing the crossroad. So after that night, my parents knew something was really off. So my parents went to consult a medium. Apparently, the spirit of my dad's deceased friend, who passed away in a drunk driving accident, came and visited him. And since he couldn't communicate with my dad, he disturbed and played with my brother instead. And after thinking about it now, the night fit started to only happen 2 weeks after my father announced that his close friend died in a car accident. The medium then gave my youngest brother some holy water to drink and asked my dad to make offerings to his friend on the road and burn some stuff for him. And after all is done, The medium also said to pass some money to his friend's wife. We're not sure why is the later part, but I remember asking my brother when he cried that time, what did he actually see? He then said he can see a shadow through the curtain windows outside our car porch with a tall hat trying to get into the house. So here is Kelvin's advice to everybody listening to this. So if you have kids that always cry at night for no reason at all, sometimes supernatural could be the answer. I would kindly suggest to go see a doctor, and if a doctor couldn't help, then please consult a medium. You are listening to Supernatural Confessions. Whatever you don't see doesn't mean it is not there. Nikki will be our next confessor. For Nikki's story, it's actually something that I've never really heard about before. Let me give you an example. In a lot of confession, people will often see entity flew around, entity walk past a wall, so on and so forth. But have you ever heard an entity that actually ride on a bus? Here is Nikki's confession.
And this was back in the Philippines when I was still there. On my way home, I took this sort of a 45-minute bus ride. Somehow I noticed that my great-grandmother, who at that time had passed away for maybe 3 to 5 years, I'm not quite sure, but I kind of recognized her as one of the passengers in the bus when I was seated at the back of the bus. At first, it didn't really hit me that, it's a scary experience. It was more of a confusion, because it was why, or what is this? What does this mean? Or what is she trying to tell me? Because first, she wasn't really interacting with me. She wasn't looking at me. She wasn't, she wasn't doing anything. She was just seated at one of the seats in front. And I know it's her because of the outfit and the way she looks, and it's one of those memories that I have of her, of how she looks like and how she sits, the posture and even the headgear, because she used to wear this bandana around her head. And I was it was weird, and I didn't really make up anything of it until she looked at me. It wasn't she was trying to tell me anything. She was just looking at me with a blank expression. It wasn't she was happy. It wasn't she was sad or angry. There's no emotion. She was just looking at me, acknowledging that, we saw each other. So when she looked at me, it was I really didn't feel anything. It was just okay. And then I guess I kind of distracted myself using my phone. And then I didn't realize that, before I alighted the bus, she wasn't there anymore. The next day, I don't know what happened. I think I got up really early because there was a commotion at home. My mother and my aunts suddenly were at home very early, maybe 5, 6 a.m. And they were talking, in one of the communal spaces and having coffee, discussing how one of my grandmother's brother, who's the son of my great grandmother, whom I saw on the bus, passed away in his sleep. And because he was a single guy, a single man, who an elderly man, he was brought to where we were located, in the city where we were located, to be to have the funeral and to be buried there. And that's when it hit me that maybe my great-grandmother, because she used to live in a city or two away from where we were living. That's where it hit me that maybe she came on a bus from where she, from where she was buried, all the way to where we were living in with my grandmother, because, you know, her one of her sons passed away. And then so I told my grandmother and of course her sisters and brothers, I said, you know what, I took a bus with her yesterday. And of course everyone like had, you know, goosebumps, and they were like, what happened? Did you say anything? And I was like, no, I mean, I know she's dead, but, you know, she didn't look dead when, you know, on the bus. It wasn't like a scary experience. It was just, it never really occurred to me what it would have meant until, you know, one of my grandfathers actually passed away.
Like the content here on the podcast, you are also invited to join Eugene and Kim at Supernatural Confessions Facebook page every Friday 10 p.m. Malaysia and Singapore time, where they will discuss, dissect, and go deeper in details on your confession. And I'll be waiting for you there.
So, what do you think about Nikki's confession? Could it be just another lady in the bus that might look like somebody that Nikki described? Or was it really Nikki's great-grandmother coming back to invite her son to his afterlife? We will leave that question to our listeners. And the next confession comes from Jocelyn Lau, entitled The Helping Hand. I used to work in Ang Mo Kio Industrial Park 3, and I stayed in Lorong Limau, which later shifted to Jalan Tenteram. The journey to and from work can be quite long by this bus 130, which I took every day. Jocelyn continued, we are in the manufacturing sector, so always have to overtime until quite late, sometimes till 8 or 9 p.m. It is actually quite exhausting. So I always fell asleep in the bus while on the way home. And for plenty of other times, I always miss my bus stop to alight. I will overshoot till I reach the ITE opposite the old Rangoon Secondary School, with no option but to walk back from there. Then, one night, I fell asleep again. I think this time it's about 9 or almost 10 p.m. Suddenly, there was a slap on my right thigh. I woke up in a jerk and realized the next stop is my stop already, and the bus is already moving off from the current bus stop. I quickly pressed the bell and got down in time. After alighting, I recalled back. There was only the bus driver, a young woman which is way in front of me in the left side row of seat, and the man behind me way at the back, also on the left row of seats. And there is no other passengers. I am seated on the right side row of seats on the inner side next to the window. And this is an air-conditioned bus, so the window is not open. The question is, who slapped my thigh? But whoever or whatever it is, thank you very much, so that I don't need to walk back home for missing my stop again. Thank you very much, Jocelyn, for the confession. You are listening to Supernatural Confessions. If you have your own confessions to share, reach out to us on our Facebook or website, Supernatural Confessions. Remember, you are not alone. I guess the confession early on just proves that not all supernatural beings around it's out to get us. Some might just lend a helping hand. Next up is a confession by Vijayan. This happens when he was in primary 5. This so-called paranormal experience can be viewed in both ways. A skeptic would look towards a tired mind or a fatigue kick-in. To a believer, they could have a similar experiences. I leave it to you guys to make your own call. If this was happened 6 years from today, I would have been in the later. Today, I take a step back to validate my own experiences from the past. While I respect all religions and listen or read all sharings, I make that final call. If it's really something that can be explained with science or it's something that cannot be explained with science, why I turn out this way has its own reason. So here goes the experience. After a full day of shopping with my mum, and I come from a single parent household, we made our way home. We were leaving at Ang Mo Kio, Avenue 10, and 461 was the block, and the floor was 6th floor. I cannot recall the floor to be exact. It was those HDB buildings built back then where specific floors had a long common corridor walkway, and the other was shorter. Our unit was on the shorter ones and the ones beside the last unit. The time was around 8:45 in the evening, and the neighborhood usually gets quiet after 8 p.m. Reaching our unit with me carrying all the bags, my mum unlocked the door and we proceeded into the unit. We had already been staying in this unit for a year plus. There definitely were other experiences too within that period, but those are for other time. Back to this experience, I drop all the shopping bags on the sofa and walk to the kitchen toilet to wash my legs. It was something which I practiced staunchly back then. My mother had headed to the toilet first and was coming out from the toilet as I made my way. As I entered the toilet to wash my legs, I saw my mother walk towards the hall. After washing my legs and answering the calls of nature, I came out from the toilet and looked out of the kitchen window. Our kitchen window had a view of these densely planted pongpong trees along a long field that had short pathway connecting to the next block. As usual, it was quiet and dark. Those trees gave menacing shadows that play tricks with your eyes and mind, and it did cut out the path lights along the pathway. I turned back and saw my mum in her batik dress, hunching over the newspaper that was on the dining table and deeply concentrating on an article. I walked past her and said, I was going to change into something more comfortable and would be back to drop the earlier worn clothes into the wash bucket. She just said, My mum was a very strict woman when it came to keeping the home clean, and everything had its place to be dropped into. I made my way past the kitchen, into the hall, and then to my room to reach for the doorknob. Our unit has a 3-room flat where there were 2 bedrooms facing each other, and the storeroom which was converted into our prayer room that stands in between both these rooms. We usually kept our doors closed when we were out. I saw my mum's room door close, which was odd, as the doors were supposed to be left open when we were at home. As I turned the knob of my door, I heard my mum's door open, and there she was dressed in her batik dress, making her way out of the room. I looked at her and froze. A cold chill ran down my spine, and the hairs at the back of my neck stood up. She looked at me and asked, "Why are you staring at me?" I said, "Ma, I saw you in the kitchen reading the newspaper and told you I was going to change and come back to drop the clothing into the wash bucket. And you acknowledged with a, But here you are walking out of your room." She looked at me and went quiet for a few seconds before saying, "That is not possible." And walked off to the kitchen. At this point, my mind was already racing with various thoughts, and I followed my mum slowly and looked into the kitchen. The paper is now folded as how it was when it was delivered, and there was no one else beside my mum. At that point, I'm not gonna lie, I was thinking, who is actually the real mother? As my mum picked up the dirty laundry bucket, she turned and looked at me and said, "Go change and give me your clothes. I gotta sleep soon as I'm tired and I have a long day tomorrow." I quickly turned around and made my way into my room. At this point, I was mentally ready, expecting to see something in my room as I opened the door. But luckily, there was nothing. My mind was racing with so many thoughts about who or what I had seen in the kitchen reading the newspaper when my mum was in her room. I changed, passed the clothes to my mother, and returned to my room. It surely was a night filled with lots of thoughts and fear of seeing what was again. But it never appeared again for as long as I can remember. That was the only incident of something pausing as a double of my mum in that unit. Or was it just a fatigue of my mind that was playing tricks on me? With that, I leave this confession to your conclusion. Cheers. To Vijayan, we would say, thank God it only happened once. You are listening to Supernatural Confessions. If you have your own confessions to share, reach out to us on our Facebook or website, Supernatural Confessions. Remember, you are not alone. Next one, we have it from Carissa Chiu, and this happens in Malaysia. This happened to me when I was 10 years old. I went for a trip in Malaysia at a beach resort with my family, friends, and dear family members. So, my mother and some of my friend's mother share the same room, while another of my friend came with both their parents, took another room. I was in the kid category, so we took a room. There were six of us in the same room with two queen-size beds, so three kids on each bed. Our room is on the third floor and is about 10 minutes walk from our room to the beach as we got the room nearer to the forest area. As a bunch of excited kids, we spent our day at the beach till we are tired and went back to our room to shower and have a nap. One of my friends, H, claims that she got some weird number from an uncle and the number is the number of hell. I'm not sure about the uncle though, she did not explain any further. While the rest of them doze off to dreamland, H and I decided to call the number. We used the hotel phone to dial the number and we waited for a few seconds. And then somebody answered the phone. What's weird was, once H heard the call being answered, she froze. So I snatched the phone from her and listened to it. What I heard really got me puzzled. I could hear cries, screams of agony, and it seems like there were thousands and thousands of voices all clumped into the sound. When I get to my senses, I slam the phone down and ask H to get some sleep. I guess the beach activity helped a lot. Within minutes, both of us were sound asleep. When we all woke up, we went to join the adults for dinner. While walking towards the dining area, my friend and I told the rest of our group about the phone call and also about what we heard, but none of them believed us. Since nobody took interest in our story, it just stopped there. We went for dinner and back to the room after. We played some card games in the room and some decided to shower and go to rest early. I remember the time was 10:45 p.m. and two of them were already sound asleep. Another two were in the toilet brushing their teeth, while H and I were watching TV and snacking with lower volume as our other two friends were asleep. Then around 10:55 p.m, I heard the doorbell rang. H told me to open it since I was nearest to the door. I got up and walked to the door and took a peep at the peephole. And what I saw was just a dark corridor. There was no one outside. Usually, corridor's light will stay lit the whole night and will automatically switch off when the sun rises. When I looked to the left, there was nothing there. But when I turned my sight to the right side, I saw a white silhouette floating. As a child who never encountered ghosts or believed in ghosts before, I just stand there and stare like an idiot. Then I remember reading a book, and there is this one topic about on how to clarify what you are looking at. So while looking at this entity, I was trying to rationalize it. These are my thoughts. Can I see through it? Yes, I can. Does it have a leg? Yes, it does. Is it floating or walking? It is floating. Can I see any wiring hanging the thing from the ceiling? I look above it. No. Any hologram machine on the floor in case someone trying to prank me? I believe this answer is no. While I'm still processing all these sorts of information in my head, the entity turned around and stared at me with its piercing, red glowing eyes, and it gave me a huge grin, like the Joker from Batman. When it grins, I can see sharp, ugly teeth behind it. After realizing what I'm looking at is of the supernatural world, I quickly backed off from the wall and jumped on my bed, and I hid under the cover and started to say my prayers. Only after, when I calmed myself down, I told H about what I saw, and we linked it back to the call we made earlier on. We are uncertain about whether it has any relation or not, but at night I barely could get any rest, as I remember I could hear scratching sound on the door, on the window, even on the wall throughout the whole night. I was saying my prayers till the morning light came. I told my mum about it and gotten myself a long lecture. I was then brought to a priest to be cleansed. Till today, I can remember clearly the screams and the cries over the phone. It really sounds like there were many, many of them being tortured in pits of fire. We have come to the end of this episode of Supernatural Confessions. If you have enjoyed this episode, please rate us with a 5-star review on whichever platform you are streaming this podcast on. Go on and tell your friends and family about us. You can find more of our content on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Search for keyword Supernatural Confessions. If you or someone you know have a confession to make, visit supernaturalconfessions.com. You can send it in text, voice memo, or even video format. Let us know if you want your identity to be kept secret. Supernatural Confessions is created by Eugene Tay. Until the next episode, my name is Kim, your host for this podcast series, signing off with, whatever you don't see doesn't mean it is not there.